It is very appropriate, from I understand, just walking in here for a few minutes, that many of the Olim is leaving. I imagine that means that this is the end of the year. This is more of not just the Shavuos, this is also a bit of a Siyum. This is a Siyum, the graduation. And the Yontif of Shavuos, the Vesh tells us that the Yontif of Shavuos, the entire Yontif of Shavuos, is based upon the preparation. The whole name of the Yontif is Shavuos. Shavuos shows us that the whole Yontif is based on the preparation that the person does for that Siyum. For that Yontif for Shavuos, the Shleishut Yimei HaKabbalah, the 3 days that we prepare ourselves for Shavuos, the entire Yontif, the Svira, everything we do is in preparation for that day. And you know that day, Ivanta, everybody, we're zoicha now that our neshama is Nisar Amamti. We got bigger over Shavuos, and now we're ready for the Siyum, for graduation. We're ready to leave this place, right? Leave this place to take out. We've been preparing for this, not for 49 days. We've been preparing some over here for a year, some probably for 2 years. We've been preparing for this day. So let's see, Bez Hashem, a little bit. What is it that, what did we get? Right? What do we have ahead of us? Shavuos is something that, it's a day that we were mekabel Torah. We didn't just mekabel Torah over here on Shavuos. We spent an entire year preparing for this last point. Right? We spent 49 days for the Shavuos. We spent over here more, over 10 months, 11 months preparing for this time when we're going to go out with that level of Kabbalah Torah, whatever it is. Let's see. Well, let's see what it is exactly that we came away with, that we can have, that we can go weiter with. So Merit Gezach, to leave on such a high, to leave after Shavuos is something phenomenal. Let's see. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there's a famous medrash that everybody in this room knows. Rebbeinu Shel Olam comes to every nation. He comes to everybody. He says, "Then you want the Torah Kedosha?" And every nation says, "What does it say in the Torah Kedosha?" So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, the famous medrash everyone knows. And this one, he tells them, "You can't steal. Steal, kleptomaniac. We can't take that. Not for us. Right? You can't murder. Not for us. Right? We are murderers. We can't. We're gangsters." Each nation, he comes to them, and each one of the nations says, "What we can't? What does it say in your Torah Kedosha?" And each nation is told what they can't handle. And Klal Yisrael, everyone knows. They said, "Nasiv and Nishman, the Banish gave the time." In the last week, a Shatzchin, everyone having a Shatzchin. You're almost in that parasha, right? The next stage of life. You know, a person calls up a Shatzchin. The Shatzchin says, "I know a girl for you." Whoo, wow, this girl's for you, right? And then you know, so you say to the Shatzchin, "What's? Tell me something about this girl." Right? So the first thing they tell you, "Oh yeah, well you have to know, yeah, everything's fine. You know, she was married before a few times, and Baruch Hashem, you know, but she's a wonderful girl." You know, the Shatzchin, the supreme Shatzchin, is somebody who right away the first thing he does is he says the problems of that girl. It's very, very not Shatzchin like. Kivyalchol the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not such a good Shatzchin. Right? He comes. He says, "I have this great Halakha Torah, and do you want my Torah?" And they say, "Well, what does it say there?" And right away he says the one thing which he knows they cannot handle. That's a problem in the Shatzchin. So I'll tell you a story. You know, last week, one of my Talmidim, somebody called me up. I know this family, and they have a daughter, and they asked me if I would read the Shidduch, if I would tell over the Shidduch to one of my Talmidim. So I said, "Yeah, I think it's a good Shidduch." Right? So I called up the Bachar side, I called up the boy's parents, and I said, "I know a certain girl. I think it's very good for you. I know the family. I think the girl's very good for your son." I didn't know. I'm talking to the father. I didn't know the mother was in the background listening also. And the father says to me, "Okay, fine, whatever." So he says, "Okay, you have numbers or phone numbers, whatever." So I start telling him, "Yeah, I have what they gave me, a couple of numbers of references, etc." And then the mother pipes up in the background and she says, "You know, Rabbi Kalis, you know, we don't need the numbers." I said, "Why not? And, you know, you guys are hearing the story, so you understand it already." She said, "Listen, you know, this is as much your problem as it is ours. If you say that this shidduch is good, so then who are we going to call? We're going to call our son's rabbi. Who are we going to call to find out that this shidduch is good for our daughter? You, if you say this shidduch is good, it's as much your problem as it did our problem." What she's saying? She's saying that when the shatzchin is the rabbi, when the shatzchin, the one who's writing the shidduch, is the rabbi, the one that knows what's best for the boy, so you don't have to look further. We know that this shidduch is perfect for our son. We don't have to look further. When the Rebbeinu Shel Olam came to read his Halakha Torah, he came to find somebody to take his Halakha Torah and to give it to. He knows that this Torah is perfect for us. So Berega, that you ask the question, what does it say in the Torah? What does it say in the Torah? So then you hear that this Torah is not for you. If you understand the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is writing the Shidduch, he knows what's best for us. Klal Yisraeli comes to Klal Yisraeli, says, this is the Torah. This Torah is perfect for you. You're perfect for the Torah. So they don't ask questions. He's reading the Shidduch. He knows what's best for us. We are perfect for the Torah. We spent an entire year here. Some of us two. Some of us more. Coming to this realization that we are perfect for the Torah. And the Torah is perfect for us. In every single aspect of our lives. Perfect. So life should be easy. No? We go out of this place. We are perfect for the Torah. Every single person in this room. Every single person in this room walked out of this room. I don't know where everyone here is holding. I don't know what this one is holding and why that one is holding. And where this one does and what that one does. Who's the biggest masmid? Who's the best davener? Who's this? Who's the all-around camper? I don't know. We'll talk after. I don't know. But I know that every single person in this room has for sure come to the realization we're perfect for the Torah and it's perfect for us. So why is it difficult? What should be difficult? We'll walk out of this room, we'll be fire. No? Next year we'll be fire. Wherever we are, we'll be growing and getting better and better. But it's difficult. It's difficult to live a Torah-tik life. I think it's easy. Everyone here knows. To learn in the Seder sometimes is difficult. When you're over here, it's hard. And there's this, and so many interesting things taking place. Right? And so much this, and some of that, and so much. Every single thing in the world, every phone call, every this, every everything going on. But we got a new shape. There's so many interesting, important things going on in the world. It's a Kabbalistic world. It's a wonderful world out there. It's very difficult. And next year's going to be easier. And how many times are we going to hear, it's not you. It's not you. This is not you. Right? How many times are we going to hear from ourselves? It's not me. This is not me. Maybe we'll say it, mamish. Maybe we'll think it. Oh, you come back into the real world. This is not me. That a phase. All different lashonis that people have. It's me, it's not me, it's this, it's that. So it's hard. But we're perfect for the Torah. We're perfect for the Torah. The perfect. The Torah is perfect for us. What's so difficult? The Yomtif of Shavuos is that lesson. That the Torah is difficult. To live this Torah-tik life. There's ups, there's downs, you have to push. Who is the Yontif of Shavuos? Adonainu David HaMelech, who was born on Shavuos, he died on Shavuos. Hel Yontif of David HaMelech, David HaMelech's grandmother. Rus, that's the whole center point of Shavuos. The Mishabura brings down Sim Tav Tadi Tiv Kotin Yitzayim. Mishabura brings down. Rus. What's Rus? We read Rus. That teaches that the Torah comes from Oini. Torah comes from hardship. Was there anybody ever in the history of the world that was ever pushed more and more away from Yiddishkeit than Rus? She was told in no uncertain terms, 10 times, go back! You're not going to find the Shidduch! No one's going to marry you! Go back, go back! No one's going to talk to you! No one's going to anything! And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And she kept getting pushed back and back. But she wants it. She wants it. Torah Tikkun Life. At least every night she goes to her room and she cries to her sister, what are we going to do, Orpah? What are we going to do? We'll be by ourselves. No one's going to marry us, but at least we have each other. And then one night, finally, Naomi was, she was Matzliach. She talked some sense into Rus, into Orpah. Go back. And she said, you're right. And she imagined what she felt like, Rus, when her sister told her, I'm going back. I'm going back. You're right. I can't. We're not going to fight Shidduchim. They're not going to accept the thing to Klal Yisrael. The law is we can't be Jews. We'll just be outsiders. Nobody wants us. It's not for us. It's not you. She was told in no uncertain terms. And now her sister leaves. Now she has nothing. And Chazal tell us, Rus Dov Gaba. But she clung. And she comes. You think it gets easier. So she comes there. Chazal tell us that when she went to the field, and she was sitting and picking whatever she was doing. So Bayez comes, he sees this girl doesn't know what's going on here. She's taking leket, but she's working. If you're working, you're not supposed to be taking. If you're taking, you're not supposed to be working. He says, who's this girl? And some guy over there says, oh, her. She's a Mayabis. She's the one. You know, she is. She's the one that married the Gadol HaDor's children. She killed them. She's a shiksa. She's not allowed into Klal Yisrael. She's not allowed into the Jew Klal Yisrael. And has anybody ever pushed and pushed and pushed? So we think, so fine, so the story ends. And what happens in the end? Rus marries Boyaz. Ah, it's Gebaldik. Rus marries Boyaz. After the hardship and the hardship, and the end of the day, right? She married the Gadol HaDor. And we look at it and we think, ah, the end of a fairy tale. Do you know what happened the next morning? Her husband died. Boyaz died that night. She's an Amman again. Can you imagine the Lashon Hara at that Levaya? Oh, ooh, Rus. Right? Ooh. She killed first to first, and she killed him. Right? Ah, you see? You see, yeah, Amoini, Valoya Amoinis, yeah, you're allowed to marry Amoini. He got his. Was anybody ever who was more pushed away from our Torah Kedoshah? But this is a family tradition. Adam HaRishon looks into the world and he sees small dot, the nitzos of Mashiach, a dot. He says, what is that? He asks the Bari Olam. And the Bari Olam tells him that's Adoneinu David HaMelech. But he doesn't say the words Chai V'Kayom. That's David HaMelech. He says, what's this? Who is this David HaMelech? He's not going to live. He tells Adam HaRishon, he's not going to live. He's an Eifel. Halim is carried. He's not going to live. So Adam HaRishon says, yes, there's a nitzos of Mashiach in there. There's a spark of Kedusha. Who is it? I'll give him anything. He says, you have to give him life. It's the only way. Adam HaRishon gives him 70 years of life. David HaMelech is saved from oblivion, from not being. He's saved from almost not being. And David HaMelech's life is constantly pushing it further. David HaMelech, where does he come from? He comes from light. They thought the world was gone. They thought there's no world. There's no world. So light, out of nowhere, David HaMelech comes into the world. Yehuda, Tamar is burning in the fire. Chazal tell us the Bnei Yehuda, it's like the says. She was in the fire. She was burning. The children are in her stomach. There was fire catching on her. And Yehuda saves her from the fire. David HaMelech is almost not. But he's pushing it. He keeps coming back. And then, when David will be born, so then life will be easy already. Life will be easy. There was no Beis Din in Klal Yisrael, Chazal tell us, that would marry David to their daughter. They held David Mamzer, not Meyuchis, the grandmother Rus. And what did Chazal tell us? What did Chazal tell us? That when Shaul HaMelech, who fought David, the greatest people of the door, Shaul, Shimi ben Gera, we think David HaMelech, he's Adoneinu David, the life of, I was once at the beach near a certain conservative shul. And so we needed tillim, we were across the street, there was a chassim taking place. And there was tillim, somebody was sick, so he said, go inside, get the tillim. They came out with these tillims. I'll never forget this. They came out with these tillims, psalms, whatever they call them. Right? On the picture is a picture of some long-haired, freaky-looking fellow with the face with a harp, right? And it said on it, David, right? And Zemmer, and Dalton, whatever, I don't know what, right? I took these things, take these back and burn them! You know why I burned them? You know why I burned them? You know why. You know why I burned them? I'll tell you why. Not because of hair. Not because of Dave. Because of a little earring darting with Kavenda. I don't know what the world was going on with it. Not because of that. You know why you have to burn them? Because David HaMelech's life was not sitting back, sipping a martini, the Riviera, looking at everything great. That was not David HaMelech's life. David HaMelech's life was hard. It was hard. Fighting. Fighting and always being knocked down, coming back. What is Malchus? Chazal tells us, Gemara Baba Kama says, an Ari, a lion. Malchus is a lion, and the lion is somebody dairus. He takes what's not his, he pushes, he fights. He's Yisgaber. We say in the morning, a person has to wake up, Yisgaber ke Ari. Wake up like a lion. Not like an elephant, not like the strongest animal. A lion, he's fighting back. No matter how hard it is, a lion fights. Adoneinu David, no matter how hard it is, David is always fighting and fighting. Hard, very hard, very difficult. Oh, it's difficult life. Shmuel comes to crown David HaMelech the king. He comes, he doesn't know who he is. He comes to Beis Yishai. He's this, that same Gemara, the Gemara Pesachim. He comes, who's this? Where's the Melech? He sees over there, there's one person, is this the person? He's a big tzaddik, a big talmud chacham. It's not him. Finally, Shmuel says, do you have any more children? He says, yeah, I have one son in the field, and whatever. He's young, he's not the greatest of my children. And he goes and he crowns David HaMelech. He comes from the David HaMelech. He's the Evan Masu HaBoyimim Haisel Rosh Pina. He was the stone that the builders rejected. They didn't think anything was going to come of him. And he became the greatest. He became at the name David. David HaMelech. There are full prokim in our Tanakh that talk about the seeming genai, the embarrassment of David. His kibyotli did not a full prokim in our Nach. David HaMelech, my brother says, David HaMelech is sitting, giving shear to the whole Klal Yisrael. In the Goyim and Eilis. He's sitting, he's giving cheer to everybody. In walks a wise guy. He says, David! In the middle of the Goyim, imagine he's giving cheer. Imagine the embarrassment. He's giving a cheer. And he says, David! Ha Baal Eishes Ish! What is the halacha of one who's Baal Eishes Ish? And David HaMelech, he says to Ribbono Shel Olam, you know me, there's so much embarrassment in my body, I have no blood left in my body, the embarrassment that I cannot take it anymore. And David HaMelech says, HaBoal Eishes Ish Misosoi B'chenek, but Yeshloi Chelek Le'olam HaBo, but I have a Chelek in Olam HaBo, I can fight back, I can keep on continuing, I can fight, I can be more. David HaMelech, Reb Tzadik writes in one place, David HaMelech is unfulfilled. It's chesh, desire, tremendous desire, which is not always fulfilled. David HaMelech wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. He has this tremendous desire. He begs Ribbono Shel Olam. If you would look at him with the beauty, how he begs Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rebbe Shem says, you have bloodstained hands, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash, your son will build the Beis HaMikdash. And he begs and begs and begs. And we know he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but Chazal tell us that the name of the Beis HaMikdash is Al Shem Adonainu David. And the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash is David. And the wall that we cry for, the Olam via the nets of Litzachim, is Adonainu David. Because the Rebbe Shem Olam will change the Metzias, will change the whole world forever. It's difficult. Whoever keeps fighting and pushing, no matter how hard it is, you read Tehillim sometimes. The same Perek. I'm drowning. To fight the Mitzul, I can't take it. And in the same exact Perek, David HaMelech comes back and says, you're my Yeshua, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Ma'ashiv Hashem, told him, well, I can't take it. Oh, Baruch Hashem, but you've saved me. Yeshua's ups and downs and ups and downs. David HaMelech, he's our dogma, he's our teacher. How do we go through life? Beautiful Gemara, the Gemara of Sanhedrin comes out, and the Gemara says, at the name of David, he says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I want a simon in my lifetime. I would love a simon. Please tell me, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, are you moichel me? For David, I'm his unbelievable madrega. Are you moichel me? And Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I'm moichel. I'm moichel. He says, give me a simon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, in your life, I'm not going to give you a simon. And Chazal tell us, when Shlomo HaMelech, when he came to the Beis HaMikdash, to put the doors, to open up the doors, they would not open. And he tried and he tried, and the doors were going to come and devour him. And Chazal tell us, that Adonainu David, when he said his name, when Shlomo HaMelech said the name David, Melech Yisrael, so the doors of the Beis HaMikdash opened and everyone in the world knew that David, Lechata, that David was always constantly fighting back and he became David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, he lived forever and ever and ever. That's David, that's why Kiddush Havana with David, he's always this, always, we're going to have battles in life. But how do we do this? Life is going to be hard. So he says, oh, we'll fight. I can take it next year. They're going to say, it's not you. It's not you. Has anyone ever told it's not you more than Rus? More than Adonainu David? Never. But they fought and they fought. There's a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Chagiga. There's Gemara Baisai. You have to live with this Gemara your whole life. The Gemara says in Chagiga, there are three people. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam cries for these three people every single day. One of them, Ayin Shom. The second one, the Gemara says, somebody who he could learn and he doesn't learn. We understand, fine. A guy could learn. He could be an Erech Hayid. He could be a good, fine, a Tam Chacham and everything. He doesn't learn. So then Rebbeinu Shel Olam cries for that person. What a waste of talent. What a wasted opportunity. That Gemara, you understand. There's another Gemara. The Gemara goes on and says, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam cries every day for someone who's Efshar Lilmoy. He cannot learn. But he learns anyways. Rebbeinu Shel Olam cries every day. Efshar Lilmoy. But he learns anyways. Why does he cry? Hasimcha, no? Rabbi Goldschmidt. It's Hasimcha, no? Hazayid. So you know what the Mashah says? Mashah says, tears shall joy. Tears shall joy. I once asked this question to Rabbi Pam Zecha Tzadik Levracha. It's not mashma like that in the Gemara. It's not mashma like that in the Gemara, no? Tears of joy. It sounds like, it's not mashma like that in the Gemara. It sounds like the same reason he's crying over the other people, there's Agmas Nefesh, is the same reason he's crying over this person who's E.F. Shalilmoy. He cannot learn, but he learns anyways. So Rav Pam says, Shem, it's a good kasha. Next day, Mincha, Rav Pam told me, he thinks he has pshat. Zoichit maybe, the pshat. He said, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not crying because this person learns anyways. He's crying because there's no such thing as a yefsher. There's no such thing as a can't. That's why he cries every single day. It doesn't matter how hard it is. This is our life. We're perfect for the Torah. The Torah is perfect for us. Yefsher. Let's talk about Yefsher. Oh, difficult. There was a Yid, a 16-year-old boy. He was sitting by the bedside of his mother, crying, davening to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Davening, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, don't take my mother. There are your kids in the house, there's other children. But the gates of Shemayim were closed. And he went to the Levi of his mother. 6 months later, this Yid was by the door, the gates of Shemayim again, davening that his father shouldn't be taken. And the gates of Shemayim were closed. And his brothers and sisters were made about him. The Chaim was a mother to us and a father to us. But we never saw him sleep. He was a mother to us and a father to us. And when he came to God when he was 19 years old, Rav Shimon Shkob said, the Chaim Shmulevitz, he knew Shas and Poiskin through and through. Because there's no such thing as a Yefsher. There's no such thing as a can't. Can't. Tosis in
Baba Kama, every boy, every kid in this room, every bocher, he knows when he opens up a Baba Kama. What does he do? He accidentally turns to one page in Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin. What's Ayin Zayin? There's a funny page over there. It's a twice the size of a third world country like Nicaragua. Right? It's this big. It's the biggest thing you ever saw. No? Every child, you know, my kid, always accidentally, we're on a Baba Kama now together. He accidentally always opens up to that page. He looks at it for a few minutes. That's his biggest twice in Shas. Not even close. Not even close. Right, but something about this twice. What is it? Something about this twice. Some kind of shatter the shmai. What's this twice? Poro. Right? I came to Tzi so many years ago. So she was, well, I didn't want to give me a fahair, remember? In the middle of this man. So he said, I'll take a fahair on whatever you're learning. I'll never forget this. I'll take a fahair on whatever you're learning. I'll take a test on whatever you're learning. So Tzvi Krishlevsky said, okay, fine, no problem. He took out that toisis. Okay? Toisis, Baba Kama in Zion. There's nothing else. There's only toisis, the entire page. Scary looking thing. So he gave me 14 minutes to prepare the fahair. And I told him, don't know pshat. But I'll tell you a story about the Tosfos. It didn't take me in because they have a shot. But what was the story? That Tosfos was written, you have to know a little bit about the history. That Tosfos was written, the Crusaders, Yimach Shimon, they took the Balei Tosfos, the children, the Talmidim, of the great Rabbeinu Tam and the great Ri, and they took them to a dungeon. They told them next morning they're going to burn them by the stake unless they go and they shmad and they become Goyim and become Noitzrim. And the Balei Tosfos were in the dungeon the whole night. And they were holding in the sugya, they had a message to tell Klal Yisrael. They were holding in the sugya, they knew, they held in their hands Rabbeinu Tam and Ri's shitas in that sugya. And they had nothing, they didn't know what they could do. They took their fingers, these Balei Tosfosim, and they cut their fingers. All of them, they filled up a bowl with blood. And they spent the whole night writing that Tosfos for Klal Yisrael. And in the morning, when they were taken out one by one to be burnt, so each one of them would finish the Tosfos and hand it to the next one. Until the last Baal Tosfos took it from the fire and threw it to the Talmidim, the Tosfos that we have today. In Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin. There's no such thing as a Yefsher. There was a Yid named Rabbi Yosef. There was a Yid, Rabbi Yosef. Nothing. He had nothing in this world. No money, no nothing. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam granted him two children. Yehuda, Aryaleib. Yehuda and Aryaleib. Two little. One day, they had nothing. Each child had one shirt. Right? And these two little boys, one day, they wake up in the morning, and their shirt is filled with grime. That's like after grease. Their shirt is filled with grime. So the mother says, you can't go to school like this. You can't. She takes their shirt, she starts washing, she washes their shirt, they come down the stairs. They see, they don't have a shirt. They're wearing this and nothing else. So what are we going to do? Can't go. She said, stand by the oven. Stand by the oven, and whatever, when it dries, and whatever, what can you do? And the Rebbe of these two gems walks into the house and he says, I can't start. Aryaleib and Yehuda aren't in the class yet. I cannot start without them. They're the gems of the Kita. Cannot start. And the father walks in. The father of Yosef, he walks in. He says to his wife, he says, what's going on? Right? He says, they have to go to school. They have to go to cheder. He says, what can you do? I'm not sure. What are you supposed to do? He says, he has nothing in this world. Nothing in this world except for the Torah of these two boys. He took off his shirt. He put both of them in this shirt. And they walked to the cheder. And we like to think nostalgic, you know, years ago, 500 years, 300 years ago, Stam and cheder, they went, wow, ah, Kavaldi, the love for cheder, right? They laughed, oh, they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And years later, Yehuda, Shan, and Aryaleib, the Ksois Achoishin, the Kunchis Asvekis, and the Ksois Achoishin, the Ksois, the greatest man who lived, the greatest man whose name will be mentioned until Mashiach comes to Olam Vayed every second in this world. The word Ksois, Ksois, Ksois. The Ksois was so great that when the Ksois brought his Sefer to the Yeshua Siankiv, he wanted a Haskama. So he took it to the Yeshua Siankiv and he brought the Ksois. And the Yeshua Siankiv said, I can't just give a Haskama. It's a big Sefer. I have to read it. He said, look, I'll read a few pages of it. Come back to me. Come back to me, stay in an inn over here. I'll read a couple of pages. He came back the next day. He said to him, I want to read more. I'm not giving up. I want to see the whole Sefer. The Sefer, it was unbelievable. He kept the spiders from the Halakha Ksois. The Halakha Ksois, he couldn't imagine what he had read over here. It was unbelievable. And 3 days later, the Ksois, who was standing in his inn, he was staying in his inn, he hears outside his window. He hears Achnasa Sefer Toida. He hears dancing and he hears singing. He looks outside the window. And he sees the Ksois Achleshin in the hands of the Yeshua Yankov. And the whole town is dancing the Achnasa Sefer Toida of the Ksois. And they're walking to the Ksois. The greatest people. Efsher, we can't. I can't. There's a bacha that walked into Pahav. Hard is it for us? Next year's going to be hard, no? Who Yafsher? And therefore it's not us. Who has it to learn? This type of matziv. It's not us. It's not us. We're perfect for the Torah. That's perfect for us. There's a bachla walked into Panovich in 1946. Walked into Panovich. That was the day of the fahers, the tests. And she walks into Panovich where all the other kids taking fahers and tests to get into Panovich yeshiva. Kitzah, the... He walked into Panovich Yeshiva. It was the day they were giving fahers in Panovich. They were giving tests. And I heard this story from Rishayim Economy, the Panovich's Rav's grandson. They were giving fahers. And one by one, all the kids from all the yeshivas and the Israeli kids were coming in. 1940, they were already high schools over here. And they were coming in to get their tests. And this boy, a stick figure, walks into the Panovich and Rav's office. He comes in, he says he wants a fahar. He says, do you have a letter from yeshiva? So the bacha says, no, I don't have. So he says, where were you? Panovich and Rav, the greatest man. You can't imagine who the Panovich and Rav was. No, I suck it. What he did for our Klal Yisrael, for everyone. And he walks in, he says, you don't have a paper. I have to have a paper. So he says, well, where were you? What yeshiva? He says, I was in Bergen-Belsen for the last 6 years. It's Yadua, the camps, of all the camps, Bergen-Belsen was the ones lager. They would sit there, they would work, there were people, the Taker, Nebuch, when they came out, broken people. But for years, there were people that lived for years and years. And he walked in, he says, he's been in Bergen-Belsen, he says, 6 years. If you've been in Bergen-Belsen, 5 years, 6 years. So then, you're not going to know what Daf Gemara, you're a 19-year-old, 20-year-old boy he was. So then we'll have to find you something. I'll find you something. Shalom Kahneman with his lathe. He said to them, I'll take care of you. I'll find you yeshiva. But to come to Panovich, not again. The boy said, I want to go to Panovich. That's the yeshiva. I heard about this yeshiva. I want to go to Panovich. So Shalom Kahneman said, okay, do you know anything? And he took out a chumash. And I learned a little chumash. He said, the last thing I learned with my father was a little bit of Gemara and Chulin. Let's take out the Chulin. So he takes out the Chulin. Said, where did you get to? Did you learn the first parak? Would you remember anything? I'll come to Daf Yud or whatever. They were reading Daf Yud of Chulin. And this boy, this bacher, is phenomenally, he's reading it down. He's reading the paper down. He's reading the whole Gemara. He's reading the Plat Gemara down. And I had a Kapala Mitzharov. He says to him, yeah, but what about this and this? And the boy said, Taisus asked the Kasha. The Plat Mitzharov. A Shleim Academy gets up. He goes over, he grabs this boy. He grabs him, he starts arguing and kissing him, he takes him outside, he starts walking with him. You can imagine on the day of Rishon, the day of Fahares, in Panovich Yeshiva, everybody comes around, Rishon Mekhanim, they want to ask him questions, he says, not now. And he's walking out of the yeshiva, he's walking out the whole Panovich Yeshiva, imagine his father, this strange sight, the Panovich Yeshiva is grabbing this stick figure and kissing him, as he's walking through the streets of the neighborhood, the whole Panovich is coming after him. He doesn't know what's going on, the Panovich Yeshiva is walking, he's grabbing this boy, he's telling him how much I like, how much I love you. And he's walking with him. Now I imagine the streets of B'nai Brak. Panovich Rav, great Panovich Rav. Everybody coming over, they want to ask him, not now, I can't talk now. And he's walking, telling him how much he loves him. Now the entire B'nai Brak, the entire Panovich and B'nai Brak are walking down. The Panovich Rav, who's walking with his stick figure to a little house. And he knocks on the door of this little house. He says, hey, the Rabbi Shal Klal Yisrael. Rabbi of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Karelitz, open the door. I have a tashit for you. I have a matana for you. I have a matana, the Chazon Ish comes to the door. He says, Rebbe, he's been in Gehenim for 5 years, and all he can think about is Tosfos and Chulin. Rebbe, the Chazon Ish grabbed him, and the whole B'nai Brak was singing Ashreinu, Ma Toiv Chalkeinu. A Yefshir, there's no such thing as a Yefshir when our blood screams from Taylor, it's perfect for us. And we're perfect for the Torah. Rishleim Zalman Orbach, he once asked the Kasha, it never says in our Torah Kedosha, ever the words Zman Matin Torah Seinu. Doesn't say it. It says Chag HaShavuos. It says Chag HaKotzer. We probably got this wrong when they asked us 10 years ago, but what are the names of Shavuos? Right? Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaOfset later. Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaBikurim, Chag HaShavuos. But it never says what every one of us in this room know. 100 times better than the Torah. It's called Zman Man Torah Seinu. We say it in our davening. Zman Man Torah Seinu never says it in our Torah Kedosha. Gain Rishleim Zalman. Why? Why is the Torah so elusive? The Torah was, we don't even know. Was the Torah given on Shavuos? Was it not given on Shavuos? We don't even know. Why is the Torah so elusive? Isn't that the whole Yontif of Shavuos? Rishleim Zalman Orbach. Rishleim Zalman. Because a Yid is going to wake up. in Gimel Ear. And he's going to wake up in Yud Ches Elo. And in September 17th, and October 31st, and he's going to wake up in June 17th. As he say, today, I am going to be Makabal Tam, I'm going to be a different Yid. I'm going to learn. I'm going to down the El Chayid. I'm going to be a Torah Dika Yid. I'm going to change. Today's the day I'm going to Makabal the Torah. And he's going to go to the calendar. And he's going to say, oh, no, no, no. It's not Shavuos. No, it's not Shavuos. I'll go back to sleep and say, forget it, not now. There can never be a day. Never that a Yid will wake up and not realize the Ribbono Shel Olam. If he wants the Torah, he'll get it today. Hey, like a bath. We sing the head of Noah. Head of Noah. You know how we end that bracha? Noisina Tlida. And the Bach and Sinan Mem Zayins of the, hey, look at the Rebbe. The Bach. He writes, why does it say Noisina Tlida? He says, because every single day when a Yid wakes up, he'll be here, he'll be in America, he'll be there, he'll be with Nisyanis, he'll be with Yitzhar, he'll be wherever he's going to be. He's going to say, today I'm going to wake up, I'm going to Makabal the Torah, I'm going to be an Erlich Yid. I'm going to be different. It's not going to be Yefsher. I'm perfect for the Torah. The Torah is perfect for us. So he said to Ribbono Shel Olam, nice thing, Torah, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll give it to you today. I'll help you today, no matter where. A lesson from Adoneinu David. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But the Torah was nicknames, Belly. The Torah was nicknames for people that are able to carry through and push and push. And when it's hard, they keep on fighting. That's our lesson from Shavuos. We have to walk out of this place. The Achana that we took. We spent the whole year being Meichen. That's the whole purpose of Shavuos. Is whatever the preparation was, that's our Kabbalah HaTorah. And we have to realize we are perfect for the Torah and it's perfect for us. And we'll get pushed. But no one was pushed more than Adonainu David and Rus. And it's the Efsher. It's hard. Sometimes it's so difficult. But the Ribbono Shel Olam cries. Because there's no such thing as a Efsher. How hard was it, the boy in Panovich? How hard was it? Chaim Shmulevitz. The greatest people, the Ksois. Hey, look at Ksois. How much snow was on Hillel HaZaken? There were 3 amos of snow on great Hillel HaZaken. But that burning desire, he had a sick burning desire, Chazal tell us, for the Torah Kedoisha. So when we'll have it hard, and we'll decide, that's it, today I'm going to be different. We'll wake up in the morning, we'll ask the Ribbono Shel Olam the Erev Noah. And he'll be the Noisein HaTorah. Anytime a Yid will accept it on himself, and he'll ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, he'll get it, no matter what. Hasiyenu Hashem lekeinu es birchus maidecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us the brachas of the Me'adim. And Moshe should be mezakas with an emissa Kabbalah HaTorah. Amen.